Ephesians 5, if you'll turn in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5. After we're saved, oh my, we just need, by the grace of God, after we're saved, we go on with the Lord. We start walking with God, and we keep on walking with God until He takes us home or the Lord Jesus Christ comes, whichever the case may be. And I'm going to go ahead and read the first 17 verses here in Ephesians 5, and then I'm going to refer to some of the verses as we preach the message, okay? Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, nor for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's amazing what God the Holy Spirit used Paul to pin down as he wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. It's absolutely amazing of all the different things. Today we're going to talk about learning as after we're saved in this, of course, growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And as we grow, talking to someone this morning about growing in the Lord, and I think it's Isaiah. He tells us line upon line, precept upon precept. As we grow, we become more wise in the Lord, or we should. And all of us, how many have moms and dads, you've been blessed, you've had children? Come on, lift your hand. You've had children, you know, maybe be grown up now. I don't know, but you had children. Okay. That was a hard question. I apologize for that. Anyway, no. Well, when they came into this world, a lot of things those little children had to learn, right? Oh, I mean, it's amazing. What a mess they made when they first started trying to eat from a spoon or whatever it was. And I'd see my wife wipe what didn't get in, and she'd wipe their lips off and put it back. Why waste food? You know what I'm saying? Then, of course, as they grew, then they began to gibber and do this and the other, learn to walk. But then they started to walk, and they stumbled, and they fell, and then they'd get back up, and they would try. But they have never, since that day, if they're normal, taking that for granted, they're still walking. Isn't that amazing? They're still walking. They really are. One we have now that's walking, and of course, when they start walking, they get into everything. I mean, it's amazing. It really is. I still have it. I've got to get this thing together, Jay Randa. He's Pop-Pop. And that leaves me with what? Still Pop-Pop. Well, we know which one she's talking to. When she wants money, she'll talk to Jay. And, you know, and that's something else. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you. But anyway, learning to walk. I'm going to ask you again. I've asked it several times. Remember when you got saved? Now, let me ask you this question. Are you still walking? You leave off your meals, church. You're not going to grow. Impossible. Impossible. Even if you read your Bible, God says distinctly, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Go to the house of God. Love to. Ever since God saved me, I've loved to go to church. I've never grown tired of going to church. I had some physical problems, as most of us have down through the years, and couldn't go, but God understood that. Even then, I read my Bible, if I was able to hold it. Christian growth, and this would be a sad commentary if it's true, Christian growth may not matter to you. Would it matter to you if your children, when they were born, couldn't walk? That's a different preacher. No, it makes a good correlation for us, I'm concerned. It really does. Does it matter? If you're content with just what we might refer to as formal Christianity, you can do that. You can just go through the motions. I guess that's another good way to say it. And you're perfectly content with that. You're not learning to walk. You may be saved, but you may be backslidden. Another way to say that, you may be in a spiritual rut. That's not a good place to be. Not a good place to be at all. But Christian growth is normal for believers. Of course, I realize when the little baby is conceived in the womb, there's a growth starts right immediately. Starts then. Okay? Growth just naturally takes place following the birth of that child. Evidences of growth should be seen in all of us on a continual basis. Every one of us. What are we doing? We're learning to walk. We are. Absolutely. The first thing I want us to look at here today, here in verse 2 of our chapter, here in Ephesians 5, we need to walk in love. Hang on. I'm not talking about this mushy ungodliness. I'm talking about growth in the Lord. Growth in the Lord. Let's read the first two verses again here. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, just let me back up to that before we get to verse 2. But be ye followers of God. We're going to disappoint Him. Yes, we are. We're not always going to do exactly what we ought to do. We're human. We're still in the flesh. But brother, the effort is there every day of your life to do what God wants us to do. It's there. But then he goes on to say in verse 2, and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us. Yeah, he was our example. And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So important. Why? Mention what is mentioned here, I say. Why is this word love mentioned here in verse 2 as the first sign of growth? Well, right off the top of my head, I'd say the gospel story is a story of love. Sure it is. What a God we have that He'd love all of us unconditionally. All we got to do to get saved is repent. Repent. He'll save us. He'll use us for His glory. And you know, we really don't get saved until after we realize that God's love and that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What a blessing that is. And perhaps because this has to do with passing love on to others. I remember a lot of things that ran through my mind when I gave my heart to Christ. And I'm one of five children and mom and dad. And we had an uncle that lived with us for almost all of my life. And the others as well. But it's so wonderful that after we're saved, we begin to learn, but begin to think about what God did. And it all comes under, and they're all subheadings under this word, love. It is so amazing. It's so wonderful. And so, when that happens, I remember getting under this tremendous burden for my family. My. Of course, you know how it is in family. You know, you don't, you're scared. You're intimidated by your family because they make fun of you. They make remarks that they shouldn't make and that kind of thing. Not that it has to be bad, but my brother Van, when I got saved, he called me preacher boy. I was preacher boy. He wasn't saved then. Matter of fact, he was in the Air Force stationed in Hawaii. And what'd you do? What's going on? They're a big boy. I said, make all the fun you want to. I know where I'm going now when I die, I said to you. Fight the phone. But it starts there. You begin to get this burden, and especially if you're praying for them. You cannot seriously pray for anyone without getting burdened for them. You have loved ones. I tell you what's going to happen. If you're serious, you're prayer for them, and you're praying, and you'll even start out by asking God to send someone, but you know what will happen if you keep doing that? That someone will be you. You want to see your loved ones get saved, and it's good to have others pray for them. But did you know, as a sibling, or if it's a mom or dad or grandparents, hey, nobody can witness to them like you can. But you have to do what's right to live the kind of life that you should be living. And not that you have to, but you're letting them know that you're serious and that you mean business in your walk with God. Absolutely. See, as we live for the Lord, the Bible tells us in John 13:35, if you have love for me, and to another. It's evidence that we know Christ. It's proof also as you do that, we sign of having new life because we love the brethren. Yes. Also, it's proof of the Holy Spirit living inside us. 1 Peter 1:22, the proof of the Holy Spirit being there is, again, love of the brethren. Absolutely. Oh, and how this affects our disposition and our conduct. God says we're made a new creature. I just, you know, that's always just, what's the correct word to use? Oh, one I'd use. because I can't think of another, it blows my mind. I can't get that, someone else might say, wrapped around my brain. I just can't get that there. Well, you see, when you and I got saved, God performed a miracle. We're new creatures in Christ, as I said. Greater kindness in the way we conduct ourselves, the way we speak. I'm not proud of this. Before I became a Christian, and or before I ever started going to church, lost without the Lord, you'd have to do some tall cursing to outcurse me. I think back about that, and my precious mother, she says, "Son, what are you saying?" I heard Dad say one time when he got home from work, Mom told him how I'd been talking. He said, "Is your mom telling the truth?" Now, what was I going to say? No way out of that. I think I remember we have a preacher came here. He calls them whoopings. Who is that? Y'all remember who that is? Some of your problems you're having today may have been that you didn't get any whoopings when you were growing up. Matter of fact, I'd put it at the top of the list. And you weren't that good a boy or girl that you didn't deserve to get it. Oh, yeah, you did. I would give you one just on principle, you know, just whether you did anything or not. It'll make a man or a woman out of you. Oh, it will. Spare the rod and spoil a child. Is the Bible right? They overrule you, Mom and Dad, and if you don't carry out your responsibility, that's not good either. That's not good. Walk in love. Greater concern for others will have. Greater compassion for those that are in trouble. Try to help them. And of course, our examples, I've already said, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our example. Secondly, walk as children of light. Now, I've touched on that just a little, but this command reaches verses 3 all the way down through verse 14. I'm not going to read them again. Well, maybe I will. I think it would be a good idea. Verse 3. But fornication. Let me pause a minute. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. There's never been a time in our history when more of that's going on than it is today. I'm telling you. It is, oh my. It is such a sad situation. And he said, in all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, we all know who that is, it goes back under the one I just mentioned there a moment ago, under fornication, nor unclean person, nor covetousness, or a covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You won't find many churches today that still preach and teach the judgment of God, and there is a heaven and a hell. I promise you. You won't find many. As a matter of fact, people today are looking for churches that don't preach that.
Amen.
Right. We won't have our children hearing that kind of thing. Little do they realize, but because of their ignorance, they don't even understand what they're saying. It's sad. But there still is such a thing, ladies and gentlemen, as the wrath of God. Oh, there is. The book says so. Settles it. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. He was speaking about a group of people there. He's talking about people that didn't know God and had this awful vocabulary and ungodly lifestyle. And he said, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, you were like them. But now are you light? You've given your heart to Christ. You're a part of God's family. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. What God said is a shame. Yeah. But all things that are reproved are made manifest in the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. And Christ, watch this, and Christ shall give thee light. He is light, isn't he? Oh, praise the Lord for that. Light and darkness. Light speaks of God, as you well know, and his righteousness. Darkness speaks of Satan and evil. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13, please. Romans chapter 13. And we're going to start in verse 11 and read down through verse 14 of Romans 13. And notice how he starts off here. Verse 11, Romans 13. And that knowing the time, one of the ushers said something to me out there in the foyer early about the time we're living in. And that knowing the time that now, I got that little word underlined, N-O-W, and now it is time to wake out of sleep. For now, there it is again, is our salvation nearer than when we believe. That is, he's talking about the coming of the Lord. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That's the word of God. That's that armor that Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 6. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and has to do with rebellings and drunkenness, not in the chambering. That word has to do with immorality. And wantonness, has to do with sensuality, and not in strife and envying. The word strife there has to do with other, you could use other words, but mainly quarreling, arguing. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. Boy, therein lies our main problem, one of the main ones. To fulfill the lusts thereof. Well, we better wake up, people, and start listening to God and start obeying him and not arguing with him, doing what he says. It's time to we do that. And notice, too, also how darkness is set forth in the text that we read. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, foolishness, foolish talking, jesting, whoremongers. Unclean persons, covetous people, idolaters. Now, in contrast, note how light is described. Goodness. You know, goodness will never be a bad thing. That's Williams chapter 1, verse 4. Goodness, righteousness, truth. Verse 10 says, that which is acceptable unto the Lord. And then there's another thing here given to us in verse 11, rejecting and reproving the works of darkness. And then, of course, you know, as I've referred to already, Christ is our source of light. Thirdly and lastly, verse 15. verse 15. Back in Ephesians. Go back there with me. Verse of Scripture. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Isn't it amazing how God says we could have wisdom if we just ask Him? Isn't that something? But seemingly to me today, we're living in nobody wants any wisdom. That's why we're living in and around a bunch of fools. And I'm not being judgmental. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, what a sad day we're living in. And walking circumspectly means that you're observing, you're watching, you're looking around you, making sure that you're in a safe place. And of course, having on the whole armor of God. Walking with our eyes open and alert to what, as I just said, all that's going on. And so this person walks circumspectly, has his eyes open to the needs, and we referred to this also as to the needs of others, and concerned and prayerful about the will of God for my life. Folks, it's important. God gave us 66 books as to how to know His will and walk in it. I just described the Bible, in case just some of you didn't pick up on that. The circumspect walk is one that seizes opportunities, if we look at it from another situation. Seizes opportunities to always do the right thing. And again, seeking God's will. You know, another thing that walking circumspectly does for us, causes us to realize that time is short. Time is short. I've had people now at this time in life asking me, and I don't mind talking about this, and I hope you don't mind me doing it. I'm not going to do it every time I come in a pulpit, but yeah, Sunday, I'm going to be 82 years old. It's been the blessedest 82 years old that a human being ever lived. Because of God. Not Vin Williams, because of God. Time is short. You younger folks in here, if you're going to live for God, you better get busy because time's running out and all of a sudden it's too late. Boy, you know I meant to do that. I meant to quit doing this and start this and start doing that and that kind of thing and waited too late. Waited too late. And you know, the sad fact is, preacher, a lot of these people that refuse to do that have been hearing the truth all their life. And refused it. Rejected it. And they've been surrounded sometimes, for the most part, with goodness. What is it that leads us to the Lord? The goodness of God leads us to Christ. Yeah. My. Realizes the seriousness of the whole situation that I've been talking about. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, what's going to have to happen to cause you to repent of your sin and give your heart to Christ? Well, how bad is it going to have to get? And we've heard the truth. You know, most people have heard the truth. Most people, not everybody, but most people. I'll never forget it. If I live to be 182, which I'm not, but me and whoever it was, don't know, at Bethlehem, we were visiting one day down in Vienna. We were walking up a street. Just came by there the other day. Wife, she'd appreciate that compliment. Well, daughter, we were going down there. I had a dermatology appointment down there, but we went right by the house. Well, this happened over 50 years ago. We were witnessing, and we walked up to these two girls that were out in a driveway. I don't know if the exact words were spoken. They had never heard of Jesus Christ. If they had lied, God help them. But, sirs, we're telling you, we don't know who you're talking about. I can't imagine that. Most of you or all of us can't imagine that. But it happened. And they refused. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. So let me ask you this morning, how's your walk? How's your walk? How many times have you been told down through the years how to walk? You've refused so far. One day I'm here to tell you, time's going to run out. It's going to come to a screeching halt called death. Even for young people. And old, certainly they must. You see, our proper walking is in love. Our proper walking is in light. And looking around, thirdly. Looking around. It's time to get busy for the Lord, folks. It really is. It's time to do right. And keep on, keep on, keep on. And the only time it'll be, you'll have reached the time when it's no longer time to walk is when you won't be here anymore. So we walk and just keep on learning to walk. Till this day, I, again, refer to me, but I want to do this to help you. When I read my Bible, I read, sit down, and do it like I never read it before. And I'm still learning what this book says. And it just happens to be my responsibility to pass it on to you because God called me to do it. Oh, how precious He is, folks. Let's keep on walking, okay, and learning. Let's stand with our heads bowed.